praise the Lord. I just want to read a few scriptures. The first scripture of this Hebrews chapter 1. I'd like to again welcome the brethren who have come, as Brother Kayode has already done a while earlier. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. The scripture that that strikes me there is verse 1, where it says that God, who has been speaking in the past, is still speaking now.
Yes.
And you know that now he's speaking by the prophet. You know, and meaning that now, you know, what we are hearing is the living word. You know, there's a difference between the spoken word, the written word, and then the living word. And one of the crises that we're having in the church today is that we're having a problem trying to bring the three of them together. The written word, the spoken word, and then the living word. Amen. And I believe that this weekend that the Lord will speak the word.
Amen.
Because he is speaking, and more importantly, I believe that the living word of God will be with us. Amen. Because the reality of the word is the living word. Because it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and then that word was made flesh, and then dwelt among us. And that is the whole story of the tabernacle, the dwelling of God, you know, in man. Amen. So this weekend, I believe God has gathered us from different quarters, from different places, for the purpose of hearing this word, of having an experience with the Lord in all the dimensions. We know that Brother used to tell us that the word of God comes in three dimensions. You know, you have the physical dimension of the word. Then you have the spiritual dimension, and then now we are coming into the fullness of the spiritual dimension of the word. Amen. And as we come into the fullness, we are also beginning to come into the fullness of all of the word of God. You know, as someone will say, the totality of the word of God, and that totality of the word is the person of the Lord. Amen. So I believe that the living word will be here with us. So let's not look at just, it's not the mental thing, it's not just head knowledge, it's an experience. You know, that he who is the word will come to us. Amen. So I'm believing that we will have an experience with the Lord, that the living word of God will come to us. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful, it's living. That word quick, that actually means living and powerful. And the word of God, it says, is able to discern. It's only something, so it tells you the word of God can be adapted to meet each and every need that we have. You know, so God is living, he's able to discern. He comes to you, he comes personalized to you. Amen. So what you are receiving, is not mass production. It is the word of God
for you.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. You know, so we're receiving the living word. So the Lord is coming personally.
Hallelujah.
As the living word.
Thank you.
Amen. And you know, Paul said that the word of God is not bound. You can't bind it.
That's right.
You know, you can destroy the Bible. You can tell bad people from preaching it. But the living word will still be going on. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, and the living word of God is the spiritual dimension of the word. That is the reality. And I believe that we are coming into the word even now. Amen.
Yes.
And one of the things that I find about the reality of the word is the reality of, you know, the word tabernacle. You know, I'm finding that God really had something in mind, you know, when he began to speak. Of course, we know he gave us the tabernacle of Moses, which we have. But it's only a pattern for the raising.
Yeah.
You know, the tabernacle is only a pattern for the raising. You know, and the raising is the relationship between you and God. You know, it's the tabernacle of man. Because Jesus tells us very clearly that in the New Testament there is a new temple, you know, and there is a new tabernacle, and in other words, there's a new relationship, you know, and God doesn't leave us in doubt as to what he has in mind. Now, the church has left God behind. I don't know if God has left the church behind, you know, and for those of us who are in the end time, there is now coming an end time religion. There is among the end time people, among the holy place people, there is a religion. That is, you know, we are getting so familiar, we feel, well, anything God has to do, he must do with us. He must, you know, I must be part of what God is doing. And it is bringing a certain amount of we are becoming complacent, we are taking it for granted. You know, and but you see, God has a program. You know, he's moving on. There is something in the heart of God. And what God has in mind is speaking of tabernacle. He's speaking of the temple. You know, somewhere we were speaking, and I just find God saying through me that it is actually an insult to you to say that you are an American, or you are a Nigerian, or you are from so and so. It's actually an insult on you. On you as a person. When you understand that, it's an insult for you to say you are from so and so country. You know, if you, when you really come to understand, and it's actually an insult for you to say this building is God's tabernacle. You know, because it says that the Most High does not dwell in buildings. You know, there's only one place where he can dwell, and it is in man. Amen. So, Psalm 8 says, what is man that you are mindful of him? The thing that is man is that man is the author. Man is that creation of God in whom the heavens and the earth meet. So when he says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, he's speaking of you. You know, he's speaking of the soul. The soul is that place where the heavens and the earth meet together. So when you think of an altar, there cannot be anything else but the soul. The soul is the altar. The soul is the place where the heavens meet the earth. You know, for those of us who are familiar with natural sacrifices, in back home, you will see people, they will make a sacrifice. Now, someone takes a piece of, even with most in the tabernacle, think of it. They say bring a goat, or bring a cattle, or bring a lamb. They put it on the altar. Now, it's not just put on the altar, it's put on the altar for something to happen to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you're putting is the earthly part of it, isn't it? You say this table is the altar, and you put your sacrifice on the altar. If you go away and nothing happens to it, then there's not been any sacrifice. The heavens must come to the sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen. Either an evil spirit comes to the sacrifice, or the fire of God comes for the sacrifice.
Yeah.
So the heavens must approve the sacrifice. So where the heavens have not met or commune with the earth, there cannot be sacrifice. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A sacrifice is a sacrifice when the heavens have approved it. And as far as God is concerned, the sacrifice is only approved by fire.
Amen.
It's when the fire comes, then you know God has accepted the sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, when they brought the sacrifice, what happened to it? Fire came. So if we are the new temple, assuming Brother Thomas is the temple, brother, get ready for fire. I should get ready for fire, because any offering I bring, the only way God can receive it is by what?
That's right.
Fire. Fire. You must pass it through the fire. Amen. You must pass it through the fire, but we don't want the fire. So, the sacrifice is there, if at all it is there, or the table is all empty, and then there is no offering on this. And because there is no offering, there can't be fire. So, there has to be the offering, then the fire comes, and then the heavens and the earth must commune, must meet. Amen. So it is that God is bringing us into a new reality. You know, of, you know, there's a greater demand, and there's a clarity of what God is speaking. And never think that God is no longer speaking. If anything, the voice is clearer, stronger, sharper, louder, powerful. It is the seventh trumpet. And it is the last trumpet. And how you know the trumpet is that it must bring change.
Amen.
Okay, so that's why if you know the secret about the seven trumpets, you'll be excited, because when the trumpet sounds, the dead shall be raised.
Hallelujah. Amen.
When the trumpet sounds, we shall be changed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you want change, then you're ready for the seven trumpets. But of course, that goes with so many things. It goes with the fire that comes. It goes with a lot of shaking and various other things. You know, so I know God is speaking. And I believe in this small gathering that the Lord will speak. And I'm praying that the word of God will come to us. Not in the letter, because the letter kills. The letter just brings death. But it says the Spirit bringeth life.
Yes.
Amen. So I believe we can pray for that. We can believe God for the word of God to come to us. And in coming to us, it will bring life. It will bring us liberty. It will move us forward. And it will prepare us to actually bring that sacrifice. Not just to bring, but to be the sacrifice.
Amen.
Because he says, I beseech you that you may offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, you know, worthy and holy and acceptable unto the Lord. So the last scripture I wanted to read was the scripture you must have seen on the flyer. The scripture on the flyer, and I said, that they build me a sanctuary that I may dwell.
Exodus 25,
yes. It says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So, the purpose of the sanctuary is that God may dwell. And I think one of the profound thoughts that is being emphasized in our time is that God desires to dwell on the earth.
Amen.
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 God desires to dwell on the earth.
Amen.
You know, and the heavens are coming down.
Mm.
You know, and you know what One of the things that the Lord is saying very clearly, you know, I always had a problem. I didn't understand. I've been asking. I asked a lot of questions. You know, and one of the questions was, what's the difference between being in the flesh and being in the spirit? You know, it's something that wrestled with me for a long time. I was asking, and I think for me, it's becoming slightly clearer. I saw a translation by, I've been reading Romans 8, and I saw a translation, an explanation by Thea. Thea is one of the Greek lexicons. It explains, you know, the Greek words. Mm-hmm. And so it was saying, if you look at the word, what the Greeks call flesh, they call it sarx, S-A-R-X, as in zero. You know, sarx. Now, they will tell you, sarx means the soft, this is the French translation, says the soft part of the body without the bone. That is sarx. That is the flesh, the soft substance without the bone is what they refer to as sarx, as flesh. Alright? Alright, and of course, God explains it to me. That the soul without a divine influence, without a divine covering, means that that soul is naked. It's
that's just right.
I don't know if you understand.
Yeah.
That is the soul of man on his own, without the covering of the spirit, of any spirit, is just flesh. That you are naked, you are uncovered. Amen. So that's what the Bible calls flesh. And then some translation will call it carnal. That they use the word carnal. They say you are carnal. So it's actually saying that there is no influence of the Spirit of God over that soulish activity.
Oh yeah.
Amen. So when he says that that you are in the flesh, what it means is that the Spirit of God has not motivated that activity, has not quickened you know, to function. Of course, we know the divine order, that you cannot change it. It's always spirit over the soul, and then soul over the body. So the thing is, the spirit of man can become dormant, can be made to be as though it is not there. And if my spirit is not dormant, is dormant, is not there, that means my soul has no connection with God. Amen. So it's like those who do computing, they probably be able to understand. It's so easy. Because all the devil needs to do is to make my spirit dormant. Because you make my spirit dormant, then my soul has no access to God at all.
Offline.
So if my spirit has no connection to God, then what is it that happens? The rhyme is my soul is empty, is naked. And then that leaves my soul open for every kind of spirit to come and feast upon it. Amen. So when the Bible talks about the tabernacle, God is going somewhere, he's looking at the real tabernacle, which is man, which is us. And he's saying we need to understand the mechanics. You need to understand the way it is. And he says that if we walk in the flesh, it will be going to be death. You know? There cannot be any life because there is nothing coming from God. The life of God is not within the soul. The soul is there. The soul is there, but it has no communication. It's not receiving any unction from God. So it is, the soul is a dead land, it's a dead place. And of course the body is even worse. And then the body is going to go down, and that's why the body is dying and is decaying, and there's a crisis. You know, but there is something happening, that the soul, is being restored.
Right.
And then the life of God is also being restored also into the realms of the soul. And so there is a lot of work for us to do. God is opening something for us. We need to move in. We need to go beyond where we have stayed. It will stay too long in this dimension. We need to move forward. We need to move forward into the New Testament, into the New Testament proper. You know, because we've been New Testament Christians dwelling in the Old. And we find that we're no longer grouping, and the church is lagging behind. We are being jammed. We are being pressed, and we're not producing. We're not doing that which we should do. You know. So I believe that the Lord is speaking a word to us about the soul, in the sense that we wish that we will be covered with our house from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Brother, we have a house from heaven.
Oh yes, hallelujah.
And the other day we were praying, and the sister shared the dream. I don't know whether it's a dream or vision, but it was what the Lord had been speaking to me. She said she saw a man, and the whole of the universe was compressed.
Oh Jesus.
And seated within the soul.
Amen.
And there was 6 feet. I said that's it. Amen. You know, so the thing is that man is much more than what we are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So the whole of the universe is in us.
Hold on.
Praise God.
You know, that's the only way God can dwell, and that's the reality. That is
hallelujah.
The, you know, there can't be anything else. That is the temple.
My God.
And so when you speak about, let us make him the sanctuary and dwell. He's just speaking beyond the tabernacle. You know, that we know. He's speaking about us. You know, that God wants to dwell, and there is a reality in us, there is a capacity in us to receive God. In other words, the fullness of God is coming from the realm of the Spirit into our soul. And that brings us to those two old things. You know, I call them old things because I heard them when they were coming to us in those days, about 30 years ago. You know, Christ in you and you in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when Christ comes into us, by the way, you have to differentiate Christ and Jesus.
Sure.
Of course, I'm sure I'm very safe, I can do that in this one.
Oh yeah.
Because there's some places where you may not be very safe.
You're among friends.
I was reading one of the devotionals, and Brothers was saying that Christ in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I don't know if you understand that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is the Son of God. Amen. And that Son of God was tabernacled in the man
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And because he was the first man in whom the universe was, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily.
Yes,
the Bible says he is the Christ.
Oh yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the Bible said that he will bring many sons to glory. So there's no way he said he didn't think it worthy that he should be there alone. But that he should bring many sons with him. And that is the body of Christ. Amen. So Christ is the fullness of God dwelling in a human body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Jesus has the Spirit of Christ in. He says the fullness dwells in him bodily.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And but you see, he's just the firstborn among many. And there should be a body of people who are also going to come with him to fill up that estate of the sons of God. Amen. So Christ in us is a very small glory. That means the fullness of Christ is in our spirit. And that's what the Bible calls the deposit. There's a deposit of the Spirit, of eternity, of perfection in me and in you. Amen. But you see, that Christ that comes in us begins to walk in me to bring my soul realm into Christ.
Mm-hmm,
and that is a baptism into Christ.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Amen. And that is what brings us into Christ. When he says you in Christ, you means your soul. The soul in Christ is you in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And that is the glory. Amen. So we have the hope of glory because the Spirit of Christ has come into our spirit. But you see, that Spirit that has come into us is the Spirit of adoption. It has been sent to adopt our spirit, our soul, and our body
Amen.
Into that fullness. So right now there is an unrest in heaven because the spirit has been, we have received the fullness in our spirit, but we have gone on break. So I find within me, God speaking to me today, say, I must begin to walk in perfection. In my mind, I do not believe I can walk in perfection. But brethren, we must begin to break through.
Hallelujah.
Where we must walk in perfection. Where we must flow as a body perfectly. Where I must walk perfectly with my wife. Now, so these are things that it looks very hard. Sometimes when Brother Paul says those things, I say, this brother, he's always pushing and pushing and pushing me. I find he's always pushing me. And I'm saying, just leave me, I want to take my time. I want to, why is he always pushing? But he has to keep on pushing.
Amen.
And brother, you have to keep on pushing us.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We need people to push us to come unto perfection.
Amen.
Because my soul must come to perfection.
Amen.
Because perfection is already in me. And that perfection wants to come to my mind.
Yes.
It must come into my emotion. It must come. That is that is Christ being fully expressed in my soul. You know, we talk about it as a theological term, you know, a religious thing, you know, me and Christ. But I think the practical has come. And that is that I must begin to come to perfection. You know, in all the dimensions. And I think that's what God is speaking. For me, that's what I'm hearing. God is saying, you need to move further. Because we have come to the time when this fullness is now coming. It's breaking through. You know, from the realm of the spirit, it must break through. You know, and that is the spirit of adoption. Our soul also must be adopted into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. You know, so brethren, I think we're in for an exciting time. You know, the days ahead are wonderful days. There are days of tribulation, days of trouble. You know, we're going to have stress in this, stress in that. But there is something that should keep us going. That is, we have a goal. There is a hope that we have. What is that hope? That the fullness of God is now coming into the soul. And I have the opportunity, I'm being called and given an opportunity to be a partaker of that. Amen. Do you know what it means to be called to be part of the Son of God? Amen. Yeah, we are called to be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
I'm using that is actually an English word that is not telling you the truth. Because I won't tell you the truth. If I say the truth, you may not believe. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
If you know what God is offering you and me.
Yes.
He says, I have nothing but ear head.
Amen.
But he said those things are being revealed by his spirit.
Hallelujah.
So it's not true that they're not, they're being revealed into your soul. Why do you think he calls it milk and honey? A line of milk and honey. What do you think he's talking about? So brethren, there is a reality of life that we have not yet come to grips with. And I think God is saying we need to begin to change. You know, you see, let me give you an example. If you see what life is, what life means, look around, you see everything that is so beautiful. That is an example of what life is. It says the law of the spirit of life.
Yeah.
What it means is that life has its own custom. That's what that word means. Life has its own tradition. There are things that go with life.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that go also with death.
Mm-hmm.
There are two different realms of life.
Mm-hmm.
And God is bringing us into the realm of life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Into the realm of living. In other words, when life in my spirit begins to come into my soul, when the life of God begins to come into your soul, into your mind and emotions, brethren, we are going to be different. There's a change coming.
Yes.
That we need to change everything about us to be able to accommodate into this new reality of life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Brethren, we are coming into life. And it does not yet appear what it will be like.
Yes, right.
You know, because we have been so much accustomed with death, with dryness, with sickness and cancer and this, and we say that that is life. It's not life, Satan. I say, I've come that you may have what? Life. And that more abundantly. Brother, there's a dimension of life. And I don't know what it is, but in my spirit, I think I'm just having seen something. I have not yet gone to be. I think it's, there is something. There is, you know, when God says there is life, you know, there's the one that was looking at. That word is Zoe. Now, that word Zoe means vitality. Vitality. Quickening, something that quickens. And the Bible says that Zoe means it's a vitality that possesses your soul. And when you possess your soul, you quicken it. Energy. Now, the thing is that Adam was being fed by the energy of God. There was a covering of life that took hold of him. Do you understand? He didn't need to go to do for life. The life possessed him and was feeding him. It was watering him, giving him everything he wanted. That vitality of God. Hallelujah. And his life, Adam lost it. He just... But brother, that life is coming again. It's coming from the realm of the spirit into our soul. It's about to break forth. But the people must die. The people must pray for it. The people must press on it.
Amen.
You understand? And don't ever think that the devil will just sit down and allow you walk into it. He is going to fight us. He's going to fight you. And he's going to fight me.
That's right.
Now, how do you think he's going to fight you? Let's look at the scenario. Now, in my spirit, there is affection, you know so.
Yeah.
Now, that's what Romans 8 is saying. Yeah. That because the Spirit of God is in your spirit, that this, your spirit is enjoying life, it's life, because of righteousness. But your body is what? Dead. What does that mean? So, in my spirit, I have fullness. That's just one third. What is happening to the other two thirds? My body is completely out. It's dead. My soul, okay, this is like this, is in the middle. In other words, so in our operation, we're having a problem with carnality. So carnality is the weapon of the devil to fight me. Because he knows that since your body and part of your soul is in the realms of the flesh, because since the flesh cannot fulfill the will of God, if he gets you to be in the flesh, he's going to stop the flow. I don't know if you get the point I'm trying to make. Our greatest problem is what? Carnality. Now, this carnality is nowhere else to be found but in me. You don't even need to go far.
Yeah.
The carnality is in me. It's working in me. It's resident with me. So I am my own greatest enemy. Hallelujah. So you're looking at it. So how do we look at it practically? That means there has to be a lot of praying. There has to be. That means I must go out of my way to make sure that this carnality is addressed in me. That is, I must take steps to address the carnality in me, so that it does not get in the way. Or rather, Bible says that. How does he put it? That if you through the Spirit.
Yes.
Mortify the deeds of the flesh. You shall come into life. Amen. Do not know. So Galatians says two of them are fighting. The spirit and the flesh. And you are in the middle. But Bible says that they that are Christ have crucified. Now the reason why you can crucify is because one has vitality. One has life. The other one is dead. And that which has life will always overcome that which is of a lower dimension. So brethren, we have life in us. And we have the spirit of adoption in us. Working to bring, to adopt our soul. And when you say soul is very far, that is my mind. I need to change my mind. And I'm just telling you, I find it difficult to believe that I can be perfect. That's my problem, because it's like when I came into this country in 1996 to do my master's degree. You know, where I was coming from, if you are going to do an experiment, they say, you know, these are the things you need to carry out this experiment. They will say, look, we don't have them, they're not there. Okay? So you will do what you call maybe a demonstration of the practical. They will tell you what the practical looks like. So, the brother says, an alternative to practical. That is, they will explain to you, this is the way the practical should be. Maybe someone who has gone to where it is available will say, look, this is the way it looks, this is the way it looks. But here was I in Hammersmith. Everything I needed for the practical was present. I couldn't take it in because I didn't believe that it was possible to have all those things. You know, so here was that everything you needed was on the table. It was culture shock for me. Honestly, it took me over a few months to get used to the fact that everything I needed for the practical was available. Amen. And some of us are in that shock. That I can walk in perfection. We don't believe it. That is, how can I be perfect? Because it's being imperfect.
Oh,
yes, well, I can hear Father, it's what?
Perfect.
So we find that right now we're in culture shock. We can't believe it. So do you really mean I can walk with God? Do you really mean that we as brethren can, everything is flowing together? Do you really mean me and my wife, who can be thinking the same thoughts, everything is? Then that's where we are. And God is going to help us.
Amen.
Like scripture says, except God intervene.
That's right.
I think we need that intervention.
Amen.
I made this in my mind to know that all that God has, all that has been dreaming is now available on the table. Amen. Because then I could say, well, after all, I can't see it. So I didn't need to bother because after all, I'm from Africa. Yeah, all those things are not available. No, they are all there. Everything I need is on the table. Do it. And I had to deal and struggle with it. And then eventually I got used to it. It's like, what was traveling to some places, the first time I traveled, I don't know which one. And I think it was hungry. First time I went to hungry. I woke up in the night, I told Brahuba, I said, look, the power supply may just go off. So let's get the candles. He said, you don't need candles. Yeah, the power supply doesn't go off. I couldn't believe that you could have a place where 24 hours for a 1 week. The light has not blinked. It was for me, it was completely foreign. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's a place after a few days, you hallelujah. So that is the transition we need to make. You know, we're coming from a place where we have been in debt. And God is telling you life. It's good, you're going to have even more abundance. And we can't touch it. We're still. But we don't believe God.
Amen.
We don't really believe God. That this thing is reality. But brethren, that's the reality. And not just the reality, He has given us His spirit of adoption.
Hallelujah.
That's what Romans says. He has given us the spirit of adoption. And that spirit is to make us say Abba. You know, why would you be saying Abba if not that he's going to bring you to be a joint head? That the same spirit of Christ is not just going to stop in your it must possess our soul. And when the soul is possessed, the body will go with it.
Yes. Amen.
The body is going to go with it. You know, so I believe, brethren, that that God is going to give us an exciting talent, and we know our difficulties, flesh, carnality. That is what is good. The devil banned from it. He says these guys will not be able to overcome the flesh. Amen. But we can overcome the flesh if we turn to the Lord. Say if we turn to the Lord, the veil will be broken.
Amen.
Amen. So if we only need to decide that we're going to turn to the Lord, we're going to seek God's face, and believing that the word of the Lord will come, the living word of God will be in our midst to feed us, to meet our various needs. And I believe that we're going to have an encounter, a personal, real encounter with the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.